I'll be quick tonight. I feel the Spirit of God wants me to quickly teach on something, very brief, very quick, so that we can go back to the place of prayer. I'll be speaking from 1 John as we prepare ourselves for the next season of growth and expansion. I believe that's what God is calling us into right now. And that's why you all have pressure, right? And pressure is pleasure if you understand it is the will of God. So the world gets so confused, and those who hate you get so confused. At first they said your guardian is not God. Then they graduate from that to let them not gather. So you have people calling venues to say they are charity commission, pretending. It's unbelievable. Satan is fuming in hell. There has never been a gathering of lies against people like this before. But what that tells me is simple. Satan is scared of something, and we must not be scared of him. He's afraid of something, and it's either you see it as Satan doing something, or you see it as, oh, that's so unfair. Satan is not fair. He doesn't care about being fair. He wants to, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It does not come to threaten. When Satan is on an assignment, he's there to kill. He's there to destroy everything. And he will not stop until he is destroyed. That's his work. And so, what is your best ammunition at this time? The Spirit of truth. It's part of the armor of God. Understanding and knowing what the truth is the armor of God. Now, if you don't have that armor, you'll be hit. It said, therefore, putting on the whole armor of God, that you may withstand, that you may be able to stand against all the schemes of all the wiles of the devil. It asks us to put on those armor for that reason. And we don't know what those armors are really. We can say it in English, but we don't know what they are until battle time. Therefore, putting on the whole armor. He said, you can't do one and not put on the other one. The breastplate of truth. I thought that scripture would be ready. It is a breastplate so that nothing will eat your heart. That's truth. And so, in all matters, a person actually finds out what is true. Because Satan does not just operate in lies. He operates in lies that look like true. So if you are not averse with the truth, if the truth is not your friend, you will believe a lie because it looks like. And when Satan is able to do that, he has destroyed already. He's not trying to destroy. He has destroyed already. So there's one thing I believe the Lord wants me to deal with tonight. And that's in 1 John. Because again, what God is doing. Actually, let's read that scripture first.
Finally.
Be
strong in the Lord.
Be strong in the Lord.
And in his mighty power.
Uh-huh.
Put on the full armor of God.
I think we've spoken about this before. You can't just be strong in you. You have to be strong in the Lord. So, you know, many times, one of the things that we've asked people when they say, well, you know, there's this about stagnation, there's this about stagnation. You're born again, right? What is God saying to you? Don't worry about all the things you've prayed. Look me in the eye and tell me what the Lord is saying. Most times there's no answer. Because if you want to defend what everybody says, you will have no life. there'll be no life. You won't read the Bible. You won't pray. Because you have to answer this one and answer that one and answer this one and answer that one. There can't be time for that, seriously. So put on the, be strong, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in His ability. Be rest assured about His ability to turn situations around. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.
Put on the full armor of God.
It has to be a full regalia. So God has armor. Put on the full armor of God. Why?
So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes.
So that you can take it. Why are you wearing the full armor? So that you can take your stand. So most people in church or in movement or in what God is doing, they don't have a stand. But it said, if you, the reason why you don't have a stand is you're not wearing the full armor. So you doubt. When you hear things, you doubt, our minds are shaky because you don't put on the full armor. There has to be a breastplate. So that when Satan, the most powerful instrument in Satan's hand is light, his words. So that when he fires it, and you bear me witness, there are words that get to you. And the reason is, where's the armor? So that you may be able to stand against all the schemes of the devil.
For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers.
Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So you can eat flesh and blood all you like. If it is not Charles, it will be someone else. And the Bible calls it struggle. Somebody is trying to take a territory. Another person is saying, no, it's mine. So our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers.
Against the authorities.
Yeah.
Against the powers of this dark world.
Against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark. Pastor Stephen said it so right this afternoon. It talks about living true in a fake world. Being true in a fake world. He said, this is our struggle. Satan is not going to let go of what he thinks is his own. And God is looking for reliable soldiers. God is looking for people who can take the territory for him. And Satan is saying, no, it is mine. So what does he do? He activates his agents. You are God's agents. Activated, and at first Satan will be thinking they won't advance, and you keep advancing, then he says, now I have to activate. So that's why you can see an MP that will just stand on your neck and say, I'm going to fight this. He has nothing to lose or gain. He's working for a master, and he has the right to do so. He has every right. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness and rulers of this dark age.
And against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms.
So you see who you're fighting. How do you use money to fight those ones? Talk to me now, George. How do you fight those ones with money? How do you fight them with just talk, not speak, talk? Unless you are spiritual, you cannot even face them. Unless you've put on the whole armor, it is the armor of God. Unless you have that armor on, you can't face this spirit, because Satan is not going to let go of what he thinks he's on. And that is not house, that is not car, that is people. We're talking about soul winning. That's people. He is struggling for those people, and there is no other way to try to stop you, Spark, than saying that you are not good. How else will he do it? There's no other way he can do it than saying, you see, the practices you practice, they are not right. and it will touch anyone that is not putting on the armor. If you don't have the armor on, you will be shot. So it said, another translation says that you may be able to withstand the evil days. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand when the evil days have come. You'll be able to stand against them because you have the armor on. So if there's anything God is asking us to do in this season and now, is put that armor on. You're not talking to me, it's vibration. Put on the armor. Wear the armor. So that when you see a lie, you are able to say, that's a lie. Otherwise, it will look like truth. When you see truth, you'll be able to say, this is truth. Imagine how many people all over our community looking for something against Pastor Toby. And this is the discerning moment. If you don't know the truth, it is not about what I say anymore. It's about you knowing. It's a knowing. And if that knowing is not there, there's nothing I can say. But how do you know? You put on the armor. Go on, sister.
Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground.
Did you see that word? It didn't say so that if the day of evil comes. Do you know the difference between when and if? When is sure. When is certain. There is no shaking as to when. But if is maybe, maybe not. He says, so that you may be able to stand when it comes. When these powers begin to do their job, because they are only doing their job. That's all they're doing, their job. When they begin to do their job, you'll be able to stand. Otherwise, you won't stand in the days of adversity. And let me tell you, anyone that has not seen adversity has not become a follower of God. Because this is a question we must keep asking ourselves. How is it that people will talk a lot from the Bible about these things? When do we get to use it? When do those facts become, or those words become real to you? So God allows the days of evil so that he can see what you really believe. So I say, I did all that because I was under pressure. You can't do wrong because you are under pressure. Wrong has to be in you. So what wrong just did was to bring out the pressure. That's all. So either there is pressure or not, I'll always do right. Because without pressure, I don't know the right or the good in me. So what did pressure do? It brought out what was already in me. Now, that doesn't mean I should then feel bad about myself. If I did wrong because of pressure, what am I supposed to do now? I'll know that's wrong. And then it would have to reset exam of pressure for me another time. James chapter 1. Count it all joy when you fall into various. So why did he call it various? It is various because you will pass one class to the other. And without passing those lower class, you're not ready for real pressure. God wanted you to be fully equipped. Extremely equipped for the next level of test. And that's where you are now. So he said, put on the full armor. Read on, sister.
And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist.
After you've done everything to stand therefore Why is it the belt of truth? I first said breastplate, but it's the belt. Because the belt holds everything together. It has to be the belt of truth. It tells you to wear it. Otherwise, things will go left, right, center. It is the belt of truth. What is the truth about every single thing that we believe? We don't give because we are under pressure. We give because the word says so. That's a belt of truth. So when all that is tested now, you will only be able to hold on to one thing. Did you open your Bible? Yes. What does the Bible say? For I bear witness for the Macedonian church that they were willing and able to give according to their ability, and yes, indeed, beyond their ability. That's truth. So when a pastor calls and says, well, you know, should people give this? I say, sir, do you believe the Bible? He says, yes. I say, let's go into scriptures now. Let's not talk about my idea or your feeling. Let us talk about scriptures. What does the Bible say? Then we read that scripture. He said, okay. He said, well, I thought you are supposed to be a custodian of scriptures. Like you protect what scripture says. The belt of truth, yes, ma'am.
With the breastplate of righteousness.
The breastplate must be right standing with God. So that nothing attacks your heart. So that your heart is protected. Every time you will be sure that what you did is right with your conscience. Because you know it matters on that breastplate. It is the breastplate of righteousness, so that no arrow of the wicked one is able to touch your heart. Yes, ma'am.
And with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace.
That's where I'm going. Soul winning. Your feet must be ready to win souls. With your feet, read that please one more time.
With your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace.
This readiness comes from the gospel of peace. It means you're ready to preach the gospel. In season and out of season. Sometimes you're in season. Everybody likes you. You're in season. You preach. But it is out of season that we know soldiers. Everyone that is supposed to operate in season, they make them train out of season. In other words, they take them to places that is contrary to. So have you seen runners running uphill because of the resistance force? Sometimes I feel like the assignment God has given you is too much for you. But God says it's not. They can take it. And would you have pressure? 110%. But it's an assignment. For you see, you're calling brethren. It is on that note that I will start the word tonight. That not many wise, not many noble, according to this world. Not many of them are chosen. So let me now give you a scripture now. And I won't take long tonight. Because we're just going to silently worship and pray. That's what I'm aiming for. 1 John chapter 4. So what should we be doing in this season? Keep putting on the whole armor. That you may be able to withstand when the evil days have come. Don't feel pity for me. It's an assignment I chose. Do you understand that? It's chosen. It's not like, I really know. See what life this person is telling. See what this person is doing. Don't feel pity for me. It is an assignment. It has to be done. And it will also reveal people to you. People don't find out truth. They don't find out truth. They don't care about truth. Truth doesn't matter to people. What matters to people, most people, not everyone, what matters to most people is sensation. I've found out in seasons like this that unbelievers discern more than believers. Everyone that has tried to ask me questions are believers. Everyone that couldn't be bothered are unbelievers, because they look at it and say, I can read within the lines of this. Something is not right. And they are able to get it immediately. Believers? No. Yeah. So for sure, I then understood the scripture that says the first will become the last, and the last will become the first. We have not seen the revival that is coming. It will be the so-called non-believers, because what you must discover is that God has all these believers everywhere and it's not taking nations. So it must rely on some other people. The only time the so-called believers come to life is when there is negativity somewhere, when there is problem. All of a sudden you realize they exist. But apart from that, you only see them maybe on Sunday morning. Saying, good morning, Jesus, as I go to church today, and that's the end. Imagine if those are the people God relies on. So he has a plan for those who today we are calling unbelievers and sinners. He has a plan for them. But who will pastor those ones when they come? He needs to prepare you. Because they are not going to come because they are righteous. In fact, they will be looking for saviors. And that's why they will be able to relate with you, because the word has said, you are not good, you are not righteous. But they've seen your consistency and fervency. And because they've seen that, you are their pastors. What God raised this house for is to train pastors and apostles that can pastor the people of the world. Someone was sitting with me the other day, just this week, and she was telling me she's done well in her own field. And she was telling me, I even thought she wanted to talk about Panorama and stuff like that. And she just said, look, I've got to tell you what I did. She started telling me. I looked at her. I said, why are you telling me this though? Because that can destroy your whole career in a minute. I've only met you, this is probably the second time. Why are you telling me? She looks at me and said, because I see the kind of people around you. I go to a church, but I will not dare. He said, I see the people around, so I know that you can pastor this because you will manage things like this. That's what God is calling you to. He's raising you to be pastors and leaders of nations. And who are the nations? People. And that's why I said that for our struggle. So in all of this, Satan knows that a moment of pressure passes away so quick. But he knows what God is up to. And in the midst of that, his job is to destroy. And he cannot destroy if you don't feel down. I want to show you a guy in a moment. If he doesn't have this guy in control of your life, he cannot destroy. And Satan knows it. Until you can understand how to face 10 pressures within 10 minutes, you are not a pressure stone yet. How do you deal with 10 pressure? How do you deal with a Judas that's not snapped yesterday night? It is the Holy Spirit. Absolute reliance on the Spirit is how you train to hear God. Otherwise, you don't hear God. How the soul snatchers now train to know how to win souls now. When things seem difficult, when they seem to be like Satan has captivated all the fish in the ocean, Jesus will come and said there are fishes on that side. So if you've just been fishing as a fisherman with technique, now we will know, because now it can't catch fish anymore, because there is no logic and brain behind what she's doing. So it's never been God. It's been style and logic and common sense. But God says the next kind of people that you're about to pastor, there is nothing common about them. How does a Jay-Z hold the music mountain for so many years and hold it firm till he becomes a billionaire? That's not a normal man. That's not an everyday man. Who is going to pastor this kind of a person? You want to pastor them by just praying and fasting and sowing? No way. He has to make you extraordinary fighters, people that are abnormal in thinking and in approach. Are you listening to me tonight? Yeah. So God says, whenever you open your mouth and say, I give me the nations, he said, are you sure? You say, God, use me, give me the nations. Oh God, God says, okay. You don't know what nations go through every day. It is enormous pressure and problems on a daily basis. And these guys have been trained well enough to handle these problems, even in court, without Christ. Now you want to show them that Christ is the better way and you lead them. Now we want to see you under pressure now. There is nobody that becomes a billionaire, either in money or in influence, that is normal. They don't think like we think. They don't speak like we speak. So imagine how many blood was spilled to get where they are going. Imagine the little that you spilled, and already you are an unhappy man. Because things are not going your way. But yet, you are supposed to be on the top of that mountain ruling it. He said, the nations are able to overcome their own problems without Christ in court. Now, you want to show them Christ is the way. So he says, manage this little. Manage this small. And that's the time God stands back. And it feels like it's not answering anything. So this sister, this brother has lost it, because it doesn't seem as if God is answering. You said you want to lead a nation. You received the anointing to lead nations. Yeah? Okay. But he said, the nations that I want to bring to you, they manage 10,000 problems in a year. How do you want to lead them? No, he said, as long as the church is the way it is, they will be the one leading us, not the other way around. So we must not say God enough. We must say, God, how does a butterfly escape the cocoon? Or a cocoon becomes a butterfly, whatever. Sorry, the cocoon escapes the butterfly. Escape the cocoon. So I said it right the first time. His obvious face, it just looks as if. How does that happen? There is a struggle between both of them. And he's forcing his way out. Can I tell you what you're escaping right now? The hood that is trying to abuse you. You're fighting out of littleness. You're fighting out of smallness. But you can stay there if you want. There's something you're trying to get out of. It was your comfort zone. And whilst it lasted, it was all right. But I've seen the butterfly coming out. And it's struggling. For we struggle not against flesh and blood. You're struggling against a neighborhood. And that's why they can't understand that you've moved on, or you're trying to move on. But God says to tell you tonight, it's a little while. You'll soon be completely out. Keep struggling. Keep the struggle on. Yeah, keep the struggle on. So, you know, what talks about going back or backsliding or not doing? My question is then to do what? It is more prisoner of hope in the world. Prisoners of hope. You know, those who are smarter than us when it comes to the world's affair. You know what they said we did most right this week? And I wouldn't expect that from white middle age. Some of them said, one of them said, my son came back home and said, you won't believe what just happened. They just released his song, Panorama. And she got so excited and gave me a high five and said, I can't believe you guys did that on exactly Monday night. Amazing. They were shocked. So she looked at me and said, whose idea? It's a cocoon you're trying to break out of. Don't worry if you have sisters or brothers that don't make it, that couldn't break out of it. Yeah. And if the butterfly keeps struggling many times and it doesn't seem to find its way out, what happens is sometimes it will then relax and say, maybe I'm not supposed to. Yeah. I know what is going through the mind of many of your brothers and sisters that are not making it. Forget what they say outside. It's just maybe I'm not supposed to. You're supposed to, bro. You're supposed to break out. And it's not going to be without a fight. For we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Now, what does the devil use to keep people in the cocoon? 1 John chapter 4. First John 4, and let's start from First John chapter 4. I think I told the three G's this. Why does 1% rule the world? They could take it. The other 99% couldn't. Halfway through a journey, they surrender to something. And you see the world and the church that are surrendered. When they speak, they are not being funny. They are just saying, look, we've been subdued. Why are you trying? What you are up against is way more than you. It's way more than you. If the world releases its firepower, you have no chance. But does God allow them to release their firepower? 100%. Let me tell you something. When God allows the world to release his firepower, guess what he's looking for? The strongest among you. He's looking for resilience. So he's not trying to not make you fall. He actually wants to see if you will fall. So the only thing he did was then to say, put on the armor, but the evil days will come. Yes, so haven't done all to stand. Stand therefore. That's what the word says. So his advice and his left. Now he says, let us see who stands. Let's see who stands. So, hey, we can come to church and make all the noise we like. He's just looking for his soldiers. When the word comes, go and check every occultic initiation. They will take people through stages and stages and stages and stages. And if you can't survive it, it's not about someone loving you. You fall apart. And guess what? They won't kill you on most occasions. They are just saying you can't belong. There's an end time movement that God is creating, and he will look for the toughest. And the toughest he's looking for now is tough in mind. Tough minds. There are tough bodies that are not tough minds. Yeah. You are strong in body. But Satan knows what to take from them. Once he withdraws that, you'll see another man. Look at this scripture. If you start from verse 7, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, that's how far we'll go tonight.
Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God.
Verse 8, quicker.
Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love.
Wait, you need to underline that. Because God is what?
Love.
Talk to me now, please.
Love.
Okay, go on, man.
This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him.
He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live. I think we've discussed this before. He knows that at some point we would have to die, that we might live through him. Otherwise, we are not living.
This is love.
Yeah.
Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son.
I need you not to skip that as well. This is love. Not that, I love God so much. I love God. The first love is that he loves us. You will see where this will make sense soon. This is love. Not that we love God. It's great how much we love God and say it. But this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his only Son.
As an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
Yeah.
No one has ever seen God.
What was the sign of his love? He sent an atonement. So there will always be people who are atonement for a generational sin. There would always be. There would always be the scapegoats or the sacrificial lambs that will be battered and used, whatever you want to call it. When people gathered around you and began to speak about stagnation, that's not them speaking. That's God testing your mental toughness. And if you don't see beyond them, they've deposited words in you. It will germinate one day because words are seeds. That was God testing your mind. Is your mind replying with word or with anger? Anger does not mean anything, because if he replies with anger, it is still Satan's instrument. That's all he's looking for. And the anger may be in defense of spark, but it's still his instrument. For God is love, not that we love God. I'm going somewhere with this, and you will get the gist soon. Go on, man.
No one has ever seen God.
Yeah.
But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us.
Yep.
This is how we know.
Did you hear that as well? His love is made what? You really need to get that scripture right though, because otherwise you'll be lost with where I'm going. Read that scripture one more time, please.
No one has ever seen God.
Okay.
But if we love one another.
If we love one another.
God lives in us,
and
his love is made complete in us.
This is going to change your life. His love is made complete in us. Keep that in mind. Read on, sister.
This is how we know that we live in him.
How?
And he in us.
How do we know?
He has given us of his Spirit.
Okay.
And we have seen and testified
that
the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world.
Yep.
If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God,
yep.
God lives in them and yep. they in God.
Yep.
And so we know yep. and rely on the love God okay. has for us.
We know the love God has for us. Please, these are landmarks. Read on, sister.
God is love. Whoever lives.
Wait. God is what?
Love.
Talk to me.
Love.
What is God?
Love.
No, I thought God is a man up there with a very big cloth sitting on a throne. God is love. So I've been looking for God. I've been looking for the definition of God. I've been looking for everything about God, what he eats, what he drinks, how he behaves. He said, listen, God is love. The old definition of God is love. Simple. But okay, so Pastor, what does this mean now? Go on, man.
Whoever lives in love lives in God.
Again, is that the second witness? Whoever lives in love lives in God. So, look at this now. Why God will always be present in all your services. What you do out of love. At best, the world thinks, well, you know, you guys help people, you sow to help people and do da-da-da-da. Yeah, but you are naive. It's just naivety because people can be funny. They say, so we put this structure in place, we put that structure in place, but this is the gist. God is love, so being naive is also accepted because you see, love overcomes all laws. And so, when do I begin to step outside of God? The moment I become wise enough, yeah, that I begin to not love. I just took a step out of God. And guess where I'm coming to? I'm coming to this world. Now, you think you got what I just said, but something is going to hit you in a moment. I just step outside of God, who is divine, because there's no way you can explain love. No, you're not listening. There is no way you can quantify love. There's no way you can say how far love will go. Because guess what God did when he loved the world? He gave his only son. So I'm not giving because of pressure or need. I'm giving because I live somewhere. And so the people down there cannot understand it. So what I want to do most times is to come down here. So I need to be careful who I speak to. I said, you do all those things, but it's not good to be naive. What about your own life and your own future? Well, God is a destination called love. And if I don't live in him, if I'm not in him, then I'm down here. Well, let's sit down here in a minute. Again, we can try to define love. You know, I give my own quota to the world. I give to so charity and aid, USA, whatever, Salvation Army. Yeah. At that point, you know why you give to Salvation Army and you feel great about it? You are not here in God, you are here. So Salvation Army has mastered the act of taking things, but in a very world manner. So it is not out of love, it is actually outside of love. Because listen, what I was saying is, there is no way to define God, right? So how do you define love? No, you didn't hear me. If God is love, and since we were born, people have been trying to say, how do we define God? Ezekiel will see him as fire one day, as water the other day, as lightning, as this, as many things. Many, many things. So we can't define the shape it takes. Listen, love's shape cannot be defined. The moment I give, and that's not just money, that's anything and everything. The moment I can define and contain it, it is no longer love. So I don't mind if the world don't understand it, because you're operating from a different location. Read on, sister. And guess what? That's powerful, but that's not even where I'm going. Talk to me.
Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them.
Anyone who lives in love lives in God and God is in them.
This is how love is made complete among us. So that...
Have you seen the word complete before? Do you want to give me a note? Bring it. This is how we know, and this is the completion of the matter. This is how we know what is complete. Anything and everything that is complete. Read on, sister, quickly.
So that we will have confidence on the day of judgment.
Okay.
In this world, we are like Jesus.
What translation is this? Go to NKJV. Quickly.
Love has been perfected among us in this.
How was love perfected among us?
That we may have boldness in the day of judgment.
You know why you will have boldness in the day of judgment? Your boldness will not be based on that you love God. It will be based on that He loves you. So what is the proof of you loving Him? You live there, but you don't know how to express your love to Him. No, you didn't get me, man. I think this is too much, right? You don't know how to express how you love God. So the Bible was sure to say, not that we love God, but that He loves us. So what happens on the day of judgment? You're just home. Not that we love Him, but that He loved us. This as we,
Love has been perfected among us in this.
This is the perfection of love. What is it?
That we may have boldness in the day of judgment.
The reason why love has been perfected is that we may have boldness. You will not approach judgment thinking, I wonder what God is going to say about me. No, He loves me.
Because as He is, so are we in this world.
You know, that's the conclusion for me. So you remember this location where you're living in Him? Love God, right? You remember that downstairs? So it wants you to be in the world, but it wants you to be as He is. So when you walk down, this is what Jesus came to do. He came to show us as He is. For as He is, so are we in this world. So I ask God, how is He? He is King, so it's not many. Imagine the only person that is called Jesus that is in heaven now is Jesus. You didn't get that, right? No way. There's no one like Him. There's no one that is the 1%. Thank you. Pastor Obi clocked it. It's the 1%, it's just one. But what does He want you to be in this world? Another church down the road? No. So that as He is, this thing cannot be defined. We don't know what He is. It's an expression of love. It is the manifestation of love. But we don't know Him. When they saw Jesus in this realm in those days, they just saw someone to kill. This guy is not normal. Forget about all His signs and wonders. Forget about how He opened the eyes of the blind. He's one in town. So when love is really at work, what happens is you live here, then He sends you down here, and you manifest so that as He is, so are we in this system, this cosmos. So this word means cosmos, the system of this world. And in this system, you manifest and exemplify love that people cannot comprehend. So what do they call you back into? Why are they giving you pressure and persecuting you? It's so that you can become as he is not. If we lose the art of love, we lose everything. And when you lose everything, guess what happens? All the pressure vanishes. Pressure goes because you've conformed to this world. But again, I need to stop, son. This is the conclusion. There is
no fear in love.
Pastor Romelu said it so powerfully on Periscope today. Powerful word about fear. This is Satan's instrument to keep you in the cocoon. Fear is the only instrument, is God. Look at what the Bible now says here. Look at that. Read it again, man.
There is no fear in love.
Remember upstairs here? Remember that as he is, so are we now downstairs. You remember? So when you get here, you're still living in him. So, but you are in love. You are not in the world. So in God, which is love, who is love, there is no fear there. So you remember the concept of love. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us. Can I just make that simple to you? It means that everything that happens to me is got me because I live in him. So I cannot be afraid of my future. I cannot be afraid of what can happen to me. Because I know he loves me, and then my job is to live in him. So where does fear come from? Look at this. Look at what the scripture will say now.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love.
Do you remember when we talked about the... you don't remember. When the love has been made complete. There is no fear in love, but perfect love. So what causes imperfect love? You're not sure he loves you. You are not bold. So imagine a woman who is wondering, where's my husband? Where's my husband? You are not sure that he loves you. But with perfect love, you will not have that fear. So why am I not afraid of tomorrow? The love of God has been made perfect in me. So the only cure to fear is love. You can't cast fear out by reading a book. You can't cast fear out by saying a prayer. Read that scripture again, Pastor, please, quickly.
There is no fear in love.
There is, say to your neighbor, there is no fear in love. Or otherwise, let's say it this way, there is no fear in God. But if they put it as God, you will still not understand. What is this thing? So why am I not regretting any giving? Even though it might be looking like, oh, this giving is coming back to bite me, man. Why did I help this person? Now it's like I'm the one that has the problem. Why? God says, don't do that. Don't do that. There's no fear in love. If you know that you were living in me, if you know that all you did out of love to help, it is no longer naivety. It's not being naive. It's not being cheated. It's not being vilified. It is now, there is no fear in love. So now, why did God allow situations that you've tried to help to come and hurt you? He's saying, I want to see if you believe in my love. Not that we loved him. Otherwise, you would also feel, you know, maybe I've done something wrong and God is punishing me now. No, that's not perfect love. That's not perfect love. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. For he that feareth has not been made perfect in love. Read on, sister, quickly.
Because fear involves torment.
You know what comes with fear? Oh my God. You're not talking to me and I'm about to close. Every fear is tormenting. You know fear won't make you sleep. You know fear will tell you won't survive. You know fear will tell you it's over. You know fear will be, and it's doing all that to be in control. because that's the most powerful instrument in the hand of the devil. Fear is the only weapon devil has. People get on drugs because of fear. People become alcoholics because of fear. People break marriage or even get into marriage because of fear. But God is looking for people who have no more fear tonight. And the reason why they have no fear is because they believe God's love for them is perfect. God wants me to shatter and destroy the spirit of fear that is in control of your life. Shout amen. So those who become something significant in life, they had no fear. They were not afraid. You look at someone and say, do you have no fear at all? People backslide because of fear. People go back because of fear. It is fear. No matter how strong someone says I am, listen, if love has not been perfected in them, they will be afraid of everything and anything because they didn't put on the whole armor. What God is saying to you tonight is either you are like he is love. He said, it's in this we have boldness on the day of judgment. That's not the day we meet God. That's the day when all evil is arising against you. Do you have boldness to be able to say, I'm not afraid. I'm not a slave to fear. Because I know every path, every route of my life, God has me in mind. It is not how perfect I have been. It's that he loves me. Are you listening to me tonight? His love is abundant for me. And if you've seen people of love before, they radiate it. They glow in it. They glory in affliction. They glory in perfection. I mean, in persecution. Because they understand God has me. For he that feareth has not been made perfect in love. Oh, she already closed the Bible.
Because perfect love. Cast out fear. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love.
Next verse.
We love him.
Yeah.
Because he first loved us.
Hey. You can't love God like you're supposed to if you don't understand first that he loves you unconditionally. Why do we love him? Because we just love him? No. We love him because he first loves us. So what Spark Nation is saying tonight is, we love you, Lord, because we understand your love over our lives. We know that you love us so dearly. We know that you love us passionately, and you've demonstrated it before. You sent the only gift you have, and because of that, we are willing to give the world the last gift we have. We are willing to sacrifice to the world everything we have left, because we know you love us. You don't just take from us, you give to us all that you had. So God is breaking people free from the spirit of fear. The reason why you were crying the other day is fear. You're just afraid. Yes, I know people just walk away from your life, and now you're thinking maybe so-and-so is just gonna walk away. Maybe the love I feel from these people, maybe it's gonna die away. So he ran away because he's afraid of being run away from. Did you hear what I just said? She ran away because she's afraid of being run away from. She sealed her heart because she's afraid of something. Those who are slaves to fear, break free. For God has not given us the spirit of slavery to fear, but he has given us the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, I have. Do you believe you have a father tonight? Spark Nation, talk to me. Do you believe you have a father tonight? So I'm not saying the persecution is over, but once the love soldiers are ready, there is never a time. And people will be calling venues to destroy a church. You should then know that person left because they feel inferior to you. Your happiness bothers them. Your happiness gives them sorrow. But listen, God has broken you free from that cocoon. No longer slave to fear. Every voice around us right now is voice of fear. Afraid. Someone say, I'm just afraid of how people see me, what they think of me. Listen, you don't exist in the mind of people unless you have something to give them. People don't care about you. They don't care about anything unless they have an advantage to take. So don't bother about people. Bother about your heart. Bother about what God has called you to do. God destroys fear completely in us tonight. Everyone here must have two souls on Sunday. The reason why we shy away from soul winning is fear. Lift up your hands to the heavens tonight. Say with me, in the name of Jesus. No, you're not saying anything. In the name of Jesus, I believe. Louder still, I believe that God loves me. I believe in the love of God. It is unconditional. I receive it. He loves me. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I mention your name. I am free from fear. I'm complete in love. I'm not afraid of the past. I'm not afraid of the present. I'm not afraid of the future. I'm complete in love. My Father loves me, and I love my Father. I want you to hold your neighbor and pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 second.